And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Polls are beginning to close around the nation after a day of high turnout and fake bomb threats in some states. Voting hours have been extended at five polls in Fulton County, Georgia. There's an issue in Milwaukee that means some 30,000 votes must be recounted. CBS's Jenna Chamlian.
Out of an abundance of caution, they are restarting the count.
This Wisconsin voter is fried.
I wait for it to be done with. It's a little overwhelming.
CBS's Stacey Lynn with data from our early exit polls.
What are voters looking for in a candidate? According to the early CBS News exit polls, the ability to lead was the quality they're seeking the most, followed by good judgment, someone who can bring needed change, and a person they feel cares about them.
Intelligence agencies have warned that there will be more attempts to disrupt results and cause chaos in the days and weeks ahead, and urge voters to watch out for phony videos and ads. CBS News Special Report. I'm Allison Keyes.
Here's some good news. Community Stories starts on November 12th. It'll air on WFHR on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 with me, your host, Melissa Kay. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Governor and Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz made a stop in Stevens Point yesterday. He spoke in the Laird Room at the Dreyfus Center on UWSP to a crowd of around 200 people. He said the Harris-Walz campaign believes all Americans deserve to have a chance at a good life.
If you work hard, you don't just barely skate by, you get a chance to get ahead. Doesn't matter if you're a red state, doesn't matter if you're a blue state, doesn't matter if you're a big city, if you're a small town, everybody in this country should get a shot to succeed. That's what she's talking about. Yes, sir.
Governor Walz encouraged everyone to get out and vote on Tuesday.
We're going to get the chance over the next 24 hours to shape this planet for generations to come in a positive way, in a way that unifies us, in a way that believes in our neighbors, in contrast to the darkness and the madness that is being put on the other side.
Polls are open today from 7 a.m. till 8 p.m. Be sure to bring a photo ID to your polling place. If you're not registered, you can still do so same day at the polls. Head to civicmedia.us/vote for links to voter information. November's DOT Law of the Month highlights Wisconsin's Move Over Law. The Move Over Law is a reminder for drivers to brake for roadside workers. It's our responsibility to protect those who work on the side of the road. This provides a safety zone for law enforcement, emergency responders, and maintenance vehicles stopped alongside the road with their emergency lights on. Over the past 5 years, 60 emergency responders were struck and injured by a vehicle while working on the side of the road in Wisconsin. The Central Wisconsin Cultural Center in Wisconsin Rapids has their Holiday Gifts and Art Fair opening night this Thursday. It's free admission on November 7th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers make a trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL trade deadline was today, and the Packers send Preston Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 7th-round pick. The Steelers will also pick up the tab on Smith's salary. The veteran linebacker, who's had his role reduced this season in Green Bay, turns 32 later this month. College basketball, the Wisconsin men's basketball team opened up their season last night with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross in Madison. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he's determined who his starting five are going to be.
That was my main message to him tonight. As we go on this journey over the next five and a half months, we have to be together because it's going to be different people on different nights. Who starts? In my mind, I've never talked about it or made a big deal of who is starting. Everybody knows they need to be ready.
NBA, the Bucks battled but let it slip away in the final minute, losing in Cleveland 116-114. The Bucks host the Utah Jazz on Thursday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers wrap up this evening, cloudy overnight and a low in the low 40s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, a high near 50. Sun's back for Thursday, high low 50s. Continued warming into Friday with sunshine, a high in the mid 50s, then rain returns later Saturday and Sunday. Right now it's 53.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
stars, the tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 97.5 WFHR and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the vote totals, give you updates, and have our news team from around the state join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. This is a special presentation from Civic Media News. From our Civic Media studios in Madison and across the state of Wisconsin, this is special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Here are your hosts, Jane Matinere and Pete Schwaba.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you so very much for joining us. Welcome to Civic Media's extended coverage of the 2024 election. We have many, many guests lined up for you over the next 2 hours. I am Jane Matinere. And my co-host is Pete Schwaba.
Thank you, Jane. I am Pete Schwaba. As we anxiously await for the polls across Wisconsin to close, we'll bring you reports from campaigns all across the state over the next couple hours and give you a glimpse of what's happening in other swing states as well and discuss some of the issues driving people to the polls and tell you actually what you need to know about counting ballots in Wisconsin, Jane.
And don't forget, the coverage really gets underway. Extensive coverage at 8 o'clock when Todd Albaugh and Pat Kreitlow will be stepping in, and they will be with us for many, many hours as results continue to come in. Don't forget, the polls are still open. If you haven't cast your ballot yet, you still have time to do that. And if you're waiting in line, don't leave the line. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit as well, what you should do if you're still in a long, long line. So again, polls close in Wisconsin at 8 p.m. You have just a little under 2 hours. To start off with, we are going to check in with Civic Media correspondent Savannah Tomei Olson. She is live at Senator Tammy Baldwin's campaign watch party. Savannah, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hi, doing okay over here. It's really just most of us reporters hanging out at the Orpheum waiting for the Baldwin camp to get things rolling here. The public's going to be allowed in at 8, so for now it's kind of just a reunion of Wisconsin journalists because most of us know each other. So many of us have seen each other even just for the last few months out on the campaign trail. If we weren't friends before, we're all kind of friends now. When I first got here, I got to talk with campaign staff before coming inside, and they told me that Senator Baldwin is hanging out with family and friends at this point. When polls are still open, it's kind of just the calm before the storm. We have so much lead up to this day, and then we get here, and other than voting, encouraging your loved ones to vote, there's not much we can do during the day. It's really all about election night after those polls close at 8 o'clock. So they said that she's done 250 campaign events across the state. For now, she's just trying to relax as much as you can relax when kind of the fate of your political career hangs in the balance, and you should find out within a few hours what happens. But they're confident in her ability to pull off a win here. The seat has been held by a Democrat since 1957. So to see it flip would be pretty historic. Historic, but it's Wisconsin. Anything can happen, Jane and Pete.
It really is interesting, isn't it, Savannah? Because when you look at the last election, we elected Governor Tony Evers, and then we reelected Senator Ron Johnson. And so we do see a fair amount of split ticket voting here, right?
It's one of the things that makes Wisconsin so purple and really makes Wisconsin so special, especially in the eyes of anybody who's interested in politics or watches elections. Truly anything can happen here. And I think that's one of the reasons Wisconsin is always toward the top of the list. I mean, all season we've seen the Marquette polls, and every time they come out, it's within 2 points of the one before, and it's
pretty close to 50-50. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But classic purple Wisconsin, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, Pete, go ahead.
Oh, no, Savannah, you brought up the Marquette poll, and that's interesting because it seemed like just 3 weeks ago, Senator Baldwin had a bigger lead. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like overnight almost, it was neck and neck. Do people seem nervous about that? Maybe if they're not there tonight, just in the people you've talked to?
I haven't seen any of that here. When I'm talking to campaign staff both yesterday and today, they're really just projecting more confidence than anything. And I think they're really banking on the goodwill that Baldwin has built across the state, especially among groups like farmers unions, which are typically not the most liberal groups. But he's gotten the endorsement of quite a few of them throughout the state here over the last few months. So I think those are the things that are really building some confidence for the camp here.
It is interesting because if you look at Tammy Baldwin's record, she has really brought back a lot of money to Wisconsin for a lot of projects that a lot of Wisconsinites are very invested in. I mean, certainly we're seeing it with the infrastructure law and the Blotnick Bridge, just as an example, that is being fixed now, connecting Superior to Duluth. So it will be interesting to see if she can maintain her seat and hopefully continue bringing back so many federal dollars for the people of Wisconsin.
And it'll be interesting to see how long we're here tonight, especially once now that we know Milwaukee may take until into the day tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see if this is one of those that is predictable enough in Milwaukee or if we'll be waiting. But there's no way to know until we start counting all those ballots.
Absolutely. Savannah Tomei Olson, a civic media correspondent. She is live at the Tammy Baldwin campaign. Savannah, thank you so much. We will be checking back in with you a little bit later on tonight.
Thanks, guys. Talk later.
Thanks, Savannah. Since 2020, prominent politicians and candidates for election have amplified lies of a stolen presidential election, Jane. These falsehoods spread rapidly on social media, and that misinformation has had significant consequences on people's ability to vote and maintain trust in our elections, including this year.
Yes.
As part of this ongoing discussion on voting process, let's talk about what you need to know about elections in our state. We're joined by Lee Rash, the Executive Director of Leader Ethics of Wisconsin, and Marge Bostelman, a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, who is now a member of the Wisconsin Advisory Council at Keep Our Republic. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Lee. What can you tell folks about election integrity in Wisconsin if people are feeling anxious, if they're feeling nervous? What can you tell them about how there's a very complex process to count votes? There are lots of checks and balances, aren't there?
Well, yes, there are, and Wisconsin is unique. We have 1,852 city, town, and other municipal clerks, and another 72 county clerks. So we have over 1,900 local elected officials running our elections. Think of it this way. Nationally, there are about 10,000 LEOs. So we have nearly one in five here in the state of Wisconsin. So that means there's more complexity. However, it also means that the kind of training that's coming out of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and the fact that you have really, for the most part, polls that are managed and operated and LEOs that are following these laws, they're basically your friends and neighbors. And so in many ways, I feel that the Wisconsin model is superior to the other states in our ability to ensure there's integrity.
We actually just had Brian Schimming come out the other day and expressed a lot of confidence in Wisconsin's election systems.
Well, I'm not surprised. You know, it's interesting, too. This past year and a half, Leader Ethics, in a partnership with an organization called Keep Our Republic, had a chance to participate in programs that featured panelists from Wisconsin Elections Commission, county clerks, city clerks, local elected officials, and essentially go through the process of our Wisconsin election system. And I've been at six of those. And I can tell you, I probably don't know all the detail to the nth degree, but I can assure you this, I'm extremely confident and believe in the integrity in the Wisconsin elections process because it's multi-layered. It has safeguards that ensure that there are backups and ways to verify the votes are counted. Everything is backed up by paper. The voting machines are not connected to the internet. There are many, many, many safeguards that are in place. And so we should feel very confident in our election system here in Wisconsin.
So, Lee, how do you, given what you just said, and that seems to be the case, there's very little voter fraud, but people that are going to believe that there is are just going to believe it. How do you reach them so there is more confidence with people who might not believe that there is?
Well, there are still questions and doubts and opinions of many Wisconsinites about the 2020 election results, about a third of Wisconsinites. However, there's been some recent surveys that show that members of both parties are going into the 2024 election, and they're affirming that they believe their vote will count. So in a way, you're coming out with a new opportunity to try to verify, not by debunking things that happened in 2020, but by pre-bunking the things that are coming up in this election. So that's why we've been so much time on messaging to try to get that information out ahead of today and ensure that people have that information and the confidence that comes with it.
If you're just joining us, Lee Rosch is our guest. He is the executive director of Leader Ethics of Wisconsin, and we're talking about election integrity. And Lee, you had mentioned Keep Our Republic, and we had several members of there on as they were setting up these town halls that they were having for people. They did a great service for folks. They really, really did. And you said that you went to six of those?
Yes, I did. Well, we hosted one of them through Leader Ethics, but yes, I've been involved with those presentations, and it's really given me a lot of a great personal insight in the process. But they did other things as well, and Leader Ethics also partnered with former members of Congress, and we had a panel in La Crosse with the former members of Congress, Ron Kind, Reed Ribble, and Tim Petri, and they were talking about their support and belief in the elections process in Wisconsin. We partnered with a national organization called the Pillars of Our Community, and they essentially were seeking leaders in communities around the state that were willing to lend their name in belief and support of elections in Wisconsin. We also partnered with Keep Our Republic and WISAC to do four public service announcements, PSAs, involving two former governors, Scott McCollum and Jim Doyle, a Republican and a Democrat, and two other state leaders, Kevin Riley, the former University of Wisconsin System President, and Warna Foy, the former president of the Wisconsin Technical College System. They and others were giving statements about why we should believe in our election process, we shouldn't tolerate anything that would promote incivility, and we should vote. And so all of these things, I think if you look at it in the aggregate, are all trying to get out there ahead of the election to try to build more confidence.
Well, and I have to laugh. We've got about 2 minutes left, Lee. It seems to me there have been two particular cases, and one of the most recent ones was in California, where a landlord actually went on social media and said he had absentee ballots sent to his apartment building that he managed for four tenants that didn't live there anymore. So he cast them all for Trump, and then he put it on social media. And I find it somewhat ironic that people who are trying to prove election fraud by committing election fraud and then getting caught for committing election fraud, that doesn't seem to be working out so well for them.
No, it's course, that's what your point is clear. If you try to do something like that, that is election fraud, and you can be criminally indicted with that.
Lee Rosch has been our guest, the executive director of Leader Ethics of Wisconsin. Thank you so very much for your time, Lee. Really, really appreciate it. You are listening to special coverage on Civic Media. We'll be right back with Earl Ingram after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
The timing is historic. The launch of WFHR radio happened at the same time residents cast their votes in a pivotal presidential election. It was November 1940. Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune newspaper publisher William F. Huffman believed radio could provide live entertainment and information to the community. The station officially on air November 5th, and just in time for election results. Democratic incumbent President Franklin D. Roosevelt announced to serve an unprecedented third term. A dedication 5 days later included a celebration, and the public joined in on the event. 84 years later, WFHR continues to be a treasured voice in the community and again celebrates on-air success at the same time as another important presidential election, this time in 2024. Join me in congratulating WFHR for 8 decades of broadcast excellence. I'm Terry Barr.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is Civic Media's special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Once again, Jane Matinair and Pete Schwaba.
Welcome back to Civic Media's extended coverage of the 2024 election. I'm Pete Schwaba, joined by my fellow Civic Media host, Jane Matinair, holding down the fort here. And this is exciting. We don't know what to expect tonight, really, so we're just kind of going with it, right?
It's very exciting. We are going to be with you for the next 2 hours. This would normally be Pete's nightlight time until 8 o'clock, but we're kind of taking things over. And then Todd Alba and Pat Kreitler will be stepping in at 8 p.m. to take over once the polls are closed. Don't forget, the polls are open in Wisconsin until 8 o'clock. You can still go cast your ballot. You can still go vote. We did have one texter that I wanted to share. And you can always text us, by the way, at 855-752-4842. Megan from Some Prairie listening on WMDX. I was just in and out in less than 10 minutes. It went so smoothly. Thank you to all poll workers. So please, if you're thinking it's 6:22, there's no time, you still have time, absolutely, to go cast your ballot. During every election cycle, voters have all kinds of different reasons for why they are casting the ballots the way that they do. This, of course, is no exception. Civic Media host Earl Ingram, catch his show from 8 to 10 a.m. on Civic Media. Earl, you recently held an online discussion with a mixture of Trump and Harris voters. I'm so curious how this went. You had two Harris voters, one Trump voter, and one Trump-leaning voter. So what did you hear from them?
Well, clearly the same thing everybody else has been hearing. Those who support Donald Trump say that they don't like the person. I've never been able to understand how you can say, I don't like the person, but I'm voting for him for other reasons. And so, you know, we got some of that. And from those who support Donald Trump, on the other side, the guys who supported and Kamala Harris clearly were challenging them to talk about policy. You know, it's easy to say she didn't have any policies, and so the guys we had on, that's kind of where they hung their hats. She didn't have any policies, and the guys on the other side were explaining exactly what the policies were, but that didn't mean that they accepted it.
Interesting. Trump and Harris voters probably would agree on some issues, but it's probably where they're getting their information from that is the disconnect. How do you remedy that, Earl? Like, how do you get them to agree on stuff when they're hearing things from different sides?
Well, if you want truth or fiction, which one do you want? Well, first off,
I want Earl.
Earl truth.
You'd have to get rid of the internet because that's where a lot of people are getting their information. And it's unfortunate that they'd much rather listen to somebody who they don't know anything about the credentials of the person. And today is a whole different world, and they're being led down the primrose path by people that they don't know, and they're willing to accept those people.
Well, and it's, we hear this all the time, it's Facebook friends. My Facebook friend's cousin's daughter's boyfriend.
Right.
And they're playing this game of telephone with really important information, and then they're doing, as you said, Earl, they're accepting it as gospel. They're accepting it as fact.
You know, we kind of saw the same thing with COVID.
Yes.
And it's an extension of that with this presidential election. And it's a horrible way to remedy what is a serious, serious point in the history of our nation. And that's who the president of the United States is going to be for the next 4 years.
Earl Ingram Jr. is here. You can catch his show from 8 to 10 a.m. on Civic Media. And just Earl just hosted a panel discussion with two Harris voters, one Trump voter, and one Trump-leaning voter. And we have some audio from that. Sam, can we play that first clip, please?
Both sides, in this case, have to stop the mudslinging. The whole name-calling end of things, we, you know, as Lincoln would say, a house divided, we will not stand. And there's a lot of truth to that because in my lifetime, you know, I'm younger than you, Earl, but during my lifetime, I've never seen it so polarized than it is today. And that concerns me, you know, that we have to somehow figure out working together is going to have to be the best remedy going forward, because if we don't, it's going to be a messy situation for everybody.
That's really interesting. What do you make of that? I mean, who was that, first of all?
It's a guy named a caller named David from Mequon.
Okay.
A guy who has been kind of following the show for a number of years. Very smart guy. He's a developer, but he clearly, you know, has drank the Kool-Aid. And so he, as bright as he is, it's almost like whatever Donald Trump has, he's been able to pull it over on guys as bright as David is. And so it's, that's the frightening aspect of this. David's a well-educated man, but he can't seem to do his own thinking when it comes to this.
And I guess I just don't see, yes, there is a... that the language is coming so much more heavily from one side, the divisive language, the insult language, the calling people names language, is really coming from the right, and I guess I don't see the that both sides are doing it to the same degree that he sees it.
So that's the reality. But for whatever reason, the society has not been able to point the finger at where it's coming from, and so. For whatever reason, they kind of want to make people believe that it's happening on both sides. I guess it gives credibility to reporters or the news media, but it is clear where it's coming from. And it's been coming from that side from the inception. Ever since Donald Trump, you know, wound up running for office, we've seen this. And I haven't heard people from the left using the types of language and disrespect. Donald Trump is a despicable person. And yet there are people who, you know, wouldn't normally hang out with despicable people. They've made the choice to get in bed with a guy who is a despicable person.
And they will trust the nuclear codes to him. Someone whose character they don't like.
Well, but we trust him with that.
I don't think they're even thinking about that. It's a matter of he's my guy.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
Earl Ingram Jr., thank you so very much for joining us here in Madison. Catch Earl's show from 8 to 10 a.m. on Civic Media. I'm Jane Matinier, along with Pete Schwabe. We are here with special coverage for Wisconsin Decision 2024. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Senator Tammy Baldwin joined Governor Tim Walz on his tour of Wisconsin yesterday. At their stop in Stevens Point, Senator Baldwin pointed out the differences voters can expect of her work versus Eric Hovde in Congress.
But the stakes of this race are incredibly high. You know, Eric Hovde celebrated when the Dobbs decision came down overturning Roe v. Wade. He said he is 100% anti-choice. Meanwhile, I am leading the effort to restore Roe v. Wade through the Women's Health Protection Act, which I lead in the United States Senate.
Speaking with attendee Bob Precourt after the rally, he said voters should be motivated to make a stronger America.
But we seek to move forward into an age that I think holds more promise for everybody, with the prospect of unity, one of the main themes that the Democrats are advancing and emphasizing this time.
Today is the day to cast your ballot if you haven't done so already. Polls are open from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. Over one quarter of Wisconsin schools are seeking a referendum this fall. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
On Tuesday, Wisconsin voters in 121 school districts will be asked yes or no on referendum questions. Districts are seeking a total of over $4.2 billion from local taxpayers for operations and facility projects. State Superintendent Jill Underley says the number of referendums is proof that public education is underfunded in Wisconsin. In all four elections this year, school districts have asked for a total of nearly $6 billion. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
In our area, Antigo, Marshfield, and Pittsville all have referendums on the ballot. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Barbenheimer 2.0 is just around the corner with films Gladiator 2 and Wicked kicking off the holiday box office season in a couple weeks. However, last weekend's box office did not impress. The movie Here, starring Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, and directed by Robert Zemeckis, landed with a thud on opening weekend. Here did not review particularly well, and audience approval is hovering at around 60%. The film whiffed big time with only a $5 million opening weekend, which landed it in fifth place overall. Repeating as box office champ following its opening weekend is Venom: The Last Dance. The third and final chapter of DC's Venom franchise took in $26 million domestically. Rounding out the top five are The Wild Robot in second place, Smile 2 at number three, and Conclave at number four. Another disappointment at the box office was Liam Neeson's new action film Absolution, which finished in 12th place, barely cracking $1 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers wrap up this evening, cloudy overnight, and a low in the low 40s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, a high near 50. Sun's back for Thursday, high low 50s. Continued warming into Friday with sunshine, a high in the mid-50s, then rain returns later Saturday and Sunday. It's 55 right now.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will discuss election results. We will discuss whether or not we have election results. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. This is Civic Media's special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Once again, Jane Matinair and Pete Schwaba.
Welcome back. Thanks for being with us for this Civic Media extended election coverage. I'm Pete Schwaba with Jane Matinair. Let's, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at Steve Kornacki on the TV. I feel like I should roll my sleeves up.
I did.
You can
at least look the part. You can
do that.
Know?
You can do that.
I don't, just don't have his information. We're going to check in with Civic Media correspondent Terry Barr. She's live at the U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde's campaign. Terry, how's it going out there?
Hey, Pete, and you're even wearing a tie.
I am.
I have seen.
It's the same tie I wore at my first communion. How do you like that?
Why do I believe that? Good to talk with you, Pete. And
you too.
Yeah, the Eric Hovde campaign watch party, it isn't even opening the doors here for at least another hour. This is at Edgewater in Madison. Everything is all set up, though, and the Republican Senate candidate wrapped up his efforts with a final phone bank that he did in Sun Prairie. Now, that followed 20 other stops during the last 6 days all across the state. Hovde saying now he's feeling pretty good about tonight, and we have some sound on that.
Really well. We're charging hard. If we win in Wisconsin, they're done. I got into this race for one reason. I love our country. But what has happened in our country the last 4 years? Think of the craziness that's happened into our country. What is right has become wrong, and what is wrong has become right.
Now, as you heard Savannah report from Senator Baldwin's campaign party, the most recent poll has Baldwin and Hovde too close to call. Jane and Pete.
Who's done? We kind of came in a weird, who's done? They're done is what he said. I was wondering who he was referring to.
Well, he feels, obviously, if he can win in Wisconsin, that will wipe out any other leads by Democrats, and that they would then become the leadership in Congress. And that's where he is saying they're done. They're not going to be the leaders of anything anymore. Yeah.
I still find it so interesting because this seems to be a tactic of Mitch McConnell's going around and farming millionaires to self-fund their campaign and go to states where they don't really reside.
Right.
Granted, Eric Hovde does have a place in Madison. Yes, I understand it's quite nice. It's on a lake, I believe. But he lives in California. I think he's won an award in Orange County 3 years in a row for being the best businessman in Orange County, California. And yet that's not affecting voters, apparently, Terry.
He's won awards for the best mustache, too. I mean, let's be honest.
Isn't it interesting to ponder where he lives, what he stands for, and putting him as another millionaire to run for office? All of these things he really hit hard at during his campaign. But how does this relate to the voters? Well, if we look at those poll numbers, they're equal. They're two very, very different candidates, but they're equal. So it will be very curious to watch the results as those come in.
Well, and certainly I want to say that the Hovde campaign in the last couple of weeks, and they poured a whole bunch of money into Wisconsin, into this Senate race between Hovde and Tammy Baldwin. But the commercials in the last few weeks have taken a decidedly nastier turn. And I am so disturbed by the targeting of our LGBTQ community, which seems to me that the way that the Hovde campaign has gone.
Yeah, and that was one of those commercials. I actually had to watch it a couple of times to even understand the point he was trying to get across, because it was kind of a muddled message. But once you actually realize how he was trying to say about Baldwin in particular, that she wanted to bring boys and the girls together and she doesn't even know what a boy or a girl is, that message to me was bothersome as a voter. But again, it will be very interesting to see how everybody else feels and how they relate to the message that he did put out at the end now of this campaign.
Terry, thanks so much. I'm sure we'll be talking to you later in the evening. Have fun out there, and thanks for checking in.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Terry Barr, Civic Media Correspondent, joining us from the Eric Hovde Campaign Headquarters here in Madison. Besides candidates, this year's Wisconsin ballot also includes a constitutional amendment that would essentially restrict our voting rights further. Wisconsin already has safe and secure elections. There are safeguards in place, as we were talking about earlier this hour with Lee Rausch, in order to ensure that only eligible voters are voting. Delighted to have us here with us in studio, Nick Ramos, the executive director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Thank you for joining us, Nick. We've spent a lot of time on Matt Nair on air talking about this constitutional amendment, and yet, I mean, this is like this feels like the 37th constitutional amendment they've tried to get passed in the last 2 years.
Man, I feel like I'm sitting here like I'm Bill Murray and it's Groundhog Day.
Right.
This is the fifth amendment of this year that we have an opportunity to yet again, as voters, have to decide whether or not we want this thing. And what's really troubling is the fact that the lawmakers don't have to be really clear about their intentions. And what's even crazier to me is that, like, I've been seeing ads on Twitter that have been really targeted and have been saying it's against the law for non-citizens to vote. And I'm like, hey, guys, if we agree on that, then why in the hell are we going and talking about a constitutional amendment right now? Because right now, the language as far as suffrage, so who can vote in this state, it says every U.S. citizen 18 years or older. It's clear about who exactly can vote here in Wisconsin, but they want to change it just so ever so slightly. Yep. So it says only U.S. citizens 18 years or older. And you might be thinking at home like, ooh, why is that such a big deal? But this is a coordinated effort across 8 states right now. They're putting big money into this right now because they want to move the goalposts for eligible voters. They want certain people to be able to vote and certain people not to vote. And it will impact people that we are not even beginning to think about. Elderly. We're thinking about people that do not already have a voter ID in this state. 10% of the voting age population do not have a government-issued ID across the country. So if you apply that number to Wisconsin, that means 460,000 people right now could not vote under our voter ID law. Do you know in a state like Wisconsin where it gets decided razor thin margins, the last presidential election it got decided by like 1%?
Yes.
460,000 could be a wave in any direction. And so this is a precursor. If this passes, and it could pass, the lawmakers could be emboldened to then create something that could be, well, it's not good enough to just have an ID. Now you need to prove your citizenship, a birth certificate and an ID to prove that you're a voter here to go vote. And that is like terrifying when we can't even commit and say that everybody has an ID to go vote. And shouldn't everybody be able to vote here? Shouldn't voting be easy in this state everywhere?
Well, and again, this is a solution in search of a problem.
Amen.
It is already illegal for non-citizens to vote, and there is no evidence of widespread massive voter fraud committed by illegals or anyone. There just is no evidence of that. And what really disturbed me when we found out about that this amendment was going to be on this ballot, by the way, if you're standing in line, if you're driving to the polls, vote no on the constitutional amendment, in case you're confused.
Absolutely.
It is confusing.
It is confusing, and it's intentionally confusing.
Right.
They write it so it's murky, so it sounds like, well, yeah, why wouldn't I do that? And then think about who wants to do this, and think about where this is coming from. This is an ALEC measure. Because you mentioned, Nick, that this is on the ballot in 8 other states.
Mm-hmm.
This is a coordinated effort by a specific group trying to stop the people they don't like from voting. I don't know, young people, people of color, could be women, could be married women. Another potential within this verbiage, if a woman got married and is using her husband's name and did not go to court to get it officially changed, that could be a problem if she wants to vote in the future because her birth certificate is not going to match, say, her driver's license.
This isn't fear-mongering. This is what's behind the curtain here. If you guys are watching The Wizard of Oz here, it's not Oz. This is, like, I want people to really recognize that this is all a part of a blueprint and a playbook that there are big-wig people that are spending. I'm looking at the money right now that this group has spent already. I mean, they're already have raised, it looks like, $725,000. And this article came, we wrote it on our website. This was back in late October. And they're doing it, and again, Iowa, Idaho, Missouri, Oklahoma, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, Wisconsin. And guess what? Like, it's not because they just want to change one letter in our Constitution or one word in our Constitution. No. They got bigger plans for us. So buckle up.
In addition to putting it on a ballot, it's all over social media. I believe only citizens should be allowed to vote. That's how it is.
That's right.
You know, but they say it like that, like these people are coming in here and we're giving them voter opportunities immediately. I mean, how do you combat that, Nick?
Well, you know, I have a dreamer on my staff. I have someone on my staff that is a part of the DACA program. And we did a whole tutorial of what it would be like as a non-citizen to go register on My Vote Wisconsin. And she got flagged immediately. Like, the state absolutely was like, hey, this is a non-citizen right here. So even if you go in on, like, today where it is, you can't go online and do it, there are checks and balances. And then I want also people to recognize the fact that why would any non-citizen risk being deported?
Absolutely.
Risk being thrown in jail? Want to be thrown in jail just to go vote? Like, right. they're watching ICE agents throw people away for all types of things. Do you really think they want to go and just vote and then have them or their family members be taken out of this country when they're trying to chase the American dream? Like, the fear-mongering, the conspiracy theories. Like, I want people to wake up. Like, this cannot continue. And I hope people realize and recognize that, the big lie and all this stuff, like, it's all part of a big playbook to just get us from not paying attention to what's really happening. Like, we should be trusting our election heroes, we should be trusting our democracy, and yet there are certain loud, very, it's like the kid in Toys R Us that doesn't get the toy he wants, so then he starts throwing a tantrum. Like, we should not be giving that kid a toy. We should be putting him in timeout. Like, we cannot be rewarding this type of behavior. And so I pray that people smarten up and vote this thing down and send it to hell, because it does not deserve to be in our Constitution.
Nick Ramos is the executive director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and we're talking about yet again another constitutional amendment on the ballot. If you are standing in line, if you are heading to the poll, I voted no on it. I would recommend you vote no. The League of Women Voters, Wisconsin, has recommended that you vote no on this amendment. The other thing that jumped out at me about this, and we have about 90 seconds left, Nick, is that what happened to Robin DeVos, who so vocally supported the last two constitutional amendments that we defeated earlier in the year? There was all the Republicans were, this is a great thing, you should vote for this, and then they were soundly rejected. And now I haven't heard a peep from any of the Wisconsin Republicans on how great this constitutional amendment is. That makes me feel suspicious.
Oh, well, I mean, it's one of those scenarios where, I mean, they got spanked this last time, and I know they didn't see it coming. And so this time it's like, if they get spanked again, it's like, well, they didn't say anything, so it's like they don't have to worry about putting their tail between their legs. And if they win on this thing, then it's like, oh, well, you know, we knew all along that we were going to come out glorious. And so it's a win-win for them. But for us, it's like, you know, I pray, and we're going to do what we got to do until the clock hits 8. But stay in line if you're in line till 8, because your vote needs to be counted, and it will be counted. And please be patient, everybody.
Nick Ramos, thanks so much, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Great to have you here. You're listening to Civic Media's extended election coverage. I'm Civic Media host Pete Schwabe, along with Jane Matinera. When we come back, the Main Street Alliance explains why small businesses are focused on this year's election results. We'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You always have to consistently, till the day you die, stand up and fight for those rights. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up for your neighbors and your friends and even folks that you don't maybe agree with politically, that they also have the very same right. And anybody trying to stop that is going absolutely against what this country is supposed to be all about. I think more people need to stand up and say, you cannot stop me from voting.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is Civic Media's special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Once again, Jane Matinair and Pete Schwabe.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us this evening on Civic Media for our extended coverage of the 2024 election. I am Civic Media host Jane Matinair, joined by Pete Schwabe. He would typically be doing Nightlight right now from 6 to 8 p.m. Not quite as light tonight.
It's not really a night off.
It's not really like a night off. Yeah. It absolutely is not.
Pretty heavy stuff here.
I did want to update folks at this point. Indiana, Kentucky, and West Virginia have been called for Donald Trump. Kamala Harris, Vermont, in the Harris column, and that's where we are right now. As results continue to come in, of course, Wisconsin, you still have a little over an hour to get to the polls and cast your ballot. I hope you do. Don't be dissuaded. And if you're standing in line, stay in line. Make sure you vote. Every vote is important, and every vote will be counted. I think it's no small thing that small businesses are critical to a strong economy. Small businesses are critical in Wisconsin. They employ about half of the workers in this country, and they generate almost half of our country's gross domestic product. These owners and their employees are a massive, massive voting bloc.
And it's funny you bring that up, Jane.
It just so happens.
It just so happens to tell us more about the impact of small business in this election, the effects on small business. Is Sean, I'm sorry.
Fetaplace.
Totally lost my place here. Fetaplace. Welcome, Sean.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. So what are you, in terms of the candidates, I know that Kamala Harris has put forth like tax credits, but I haven't heard, maybe not as much as in past elections, how important, it doesn't seem like the candidates have really, really focused on small businesses in this campaign. Am I wrong?
I mean, I would actually say that they have. Vice President Harris proposed taking the $5,000 tax credit to $50,000 for startups. That's huge. And it would allow folks to be able to reduce their tax burden as they're starting to get off the ground. Furthermore, there's things like investments in healthcare. And our membership, Maestria Alliance, we tend to have a lot of sole proprietors, a lot of smaller operators, including many here in Madison, but across the state as well. Who really benefit from a lot of that. I know that former President Trump has also talked a lot about that as well. So recently, a member of ours, the Little Village Play Cafe, was featured in the New York Times talking about the importance of small business in the election. And so we've been organizing with small business owners for 4 years here in the state, and they're going to make their voice heard tonight.
Well, Governor Evers certainly focused a lot on small businesses, and especially after the COVID pandemic. And right, I mean, it was the whole Main Street. He wanted to make sure that our Main Streets didn't die, and so many of the businesses in our little downtowns are small businesses.
That's totally right. There's actually something called the Main Street Bounce Back program that helped provide $10,000 grants to small businesses taking over vacant storefronts. And it was so successful, they end up providing grants to 10,000 small businesses all throughout the state. Wisconsin really led the country in that, even compared to our neighbors, but nationally, Governor Evers really led the charge on that. We were there every step of the way to try to encourage him to do so, and with a lot of other allies. But ultimately, I think you see the benefits of that throughout the main streets of Wisconsin.
Absolutely. I think it just helped to keep Wisconsin's economy going at a time when so many other things were just shutting down. People were going out of business left and right. And I think there are many that are still trying to recover from that. Certainly if Kamala Harris would get elected and allow this $50,000 loan to get people off the ground, I can't imagine what a game changer that would be for someone who's thinking about opening up a yarn shop.
I totally agree. And you know, not only at the presidential level, but we've worked really hard on the state legislative elections here. We have an opportunity tonight to potentially see the assembly flip or become very close. In the Senate, it does look like there's going to be a number of flips as well. And that's going to provide an opportunity not only at the federal level, but at the state level to be able to get things like Badger Care expansion done. Paid family medical leave, get the child care counts program fully funded. And so we're really excited about that. And our members have been out there organizing in Viroqua and in Wauwatosa and up in Green Bay to really help make sure that these folks are hearing from small business owners during the election.
Do you think, we just have a few seconds left, Sean. Do you think, how have small businesses rebounded since COVID overall, would you say?
I would say that a lot of people changed their business model. A lot of folks got support. The Small Business Administration has done a lot as well to provide lending for folks. We have 19 million new small businesses that have been formed in the last 4 years.
Wow,
crazy.
Yeah,
it's yarn stores.
Yeah, and that's a lot of yarn. But you know, we need to make sure that they're sustained as well and that they can survive long term. And so that requires making investments in things like the care economy, capital access, and that's something we're going to fight for both in Congress but here in Madison.
If you are considering starting up a small business, this is the group that you want to talk to. Sean Fedaplace from Main Street Alliance, thank you so much for coming into the studio, Sean. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Polls close at 8 p.m. Don't forget, if you haven't voted yet, you still have time. You have 1 hour and 3 minutes. Plenty of time.
And just to remind people, if you're in line,
don't go.
And the polls close. If you're in line, you have to take your vote. Yeah.
You get to vote. Don't leave. You get to vote. Your vote counts. It's very, very important. I'm Jane Matinere, along with Pete Schwabe. Our coverage will continue. We're going to have stops at campaign headquarters around the state. We're also going to talk about women's reproductive and LGBTQ rights, which are definitely on the ballot tonight. We'll be joined by a representative from Planned Parenthood Advocates and the founder of OutLives magazine when we come back. I hope you can stay with us. You are listening to Civic Media's extended coverage of the 2024 election on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the vote totals, give you updates, and have our news team from around the state join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hi, Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special.